So we've been studying, like Brother said, from the book of Proverbs. There are 66 books in the Bible, 39 on the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Proverbs is the 20th book of the Bible, 31 chapters. If you read one a day, most months have 31 days, you could read it 12 times a year. My earliest memories of Proverbs was when my grandmother in India would read early morning. She would read scripture, and in her big giant Bible, she would read a portion from the Old Testament, a Psalm, a Proverbs, and the New Testament. It's a great example of that we should read widely, and it all connects together if you think about it. That's my earliest memory of someone reading Proverbs. Now, Proverbs are a collection of wise sayings, practical instructions on how to live our life. Chapters 1 through 24, wise sayings of Solomon compiled while he was alive. Proverbs 25 through 29 are the other Proverbs of Solomon that the officials of King Hezekiah gathered while Solomon passed away. Proverbs 30 is sayings of Al Gore, and Proverbs 31, words of King Lemuel, which his mother taught him. Now, we all know some wise sayings, right? We know from early childhood on, we know sayings like early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's not true. I go to bed early and I wake up early, and it's not happening to me. But you could count on the Proverbs on the Word of God because it is true. It's God-inspired, and every single word, every single letter in the Scripture is true and accurate. The fear of the Lord, the fear of God, or submission to His will of God, is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is found 14 times in the book of Proverbs. Chapter 1, the beginning of knowledge, brings answered prayers, equated with knowledge, to hate evil, the beginning of wisdom, prolongs days, gives strong confidence, and so on and so forth. The topics addressed in the book of Proverbs, just to name a few, are avoid evil men, seek wisdom, source of wisdom, benefits of wisdom, life of the wise, avoid adultery, wisdom versus foolishness, and God-fearing wife. Some of the topics that we see in the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to chapter 26 of Proverbs, and we'll go really quickly through this, verse by verse. Like snow in the summer or rain in the harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. Like snow in the summer or rain in the harvest, honor is not fitting for the fool. We know we live in Texas and the weather is unpredictable, right? I think the toughest job and the easiest job is being a weatherman, because you can never go wrong or right. It is odd. It's out of place. Every day when we wake up in the morning in our house, we ask Alexa what the weather is, because we don't know if you wear shorts or pants or jackets or suits. Every day is different. But imagine in Israel, if it rained during snow in the summer and rain in the harvest, it would ruin the crops. So it's odd. Honor is not fitting for a fool. If you honor a fool, you're also a fool, right? So if you honor a fool, he might think he's right and he will not change. Only a fool honors a fool. Verse 2, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Only a fool curses another without cause. Such a curse cannot come true. The fool is restless. A whip, verse 3, whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the backs of fools. A fool on their own cannot lead themselves in the path they should go. Like a horse or a donkey, they have no understanding. They need sharp correction. Verse 4 and 5, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you yourself will be just like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. It seems at first glance that verses 4 and 5 are contradicting each other. It is not translated really well into English, but we could gather the wisdom in those two verses. Don't use fool's reasoning to answer him. Don't behave like him, or you will be just like him. Rather, answer him with wisdom, rebuke him, and correct him, otherwise he might think he is wise. Verse 6. Sending a message by the hand of a fool is cutting off one's feet or drinking poison. You want to make sure your messenger will not alter the message, but will convey it authentically. It can be damaging if he does not. Verse 7. Like the useless leg of one who is lame is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. The proverb in the mouth of a fool has no value. It does not correct him, not useful at all. They do not know when, where, and how to apply it. Verse 8. Like tying a stone in a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. Imagine David, when fighting against Goliath, decides to pick up the stones, then tape it to his sling. What good use it? The story will be rewritten if that was the case. The purpose of the stone in a sling is to be thrown out. It is not, if it's not, it is then useless, not fitting, not right. Verse 9, like a thorn bush in a drunkard's hand is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. When I read this portion, I was thinking to myself, why is he picking up a thorn bush? And he's drunk, right? Thorns and are dangerous and painful to himself and to others. It can cause injury if not handled properly. So is a proverb in the mouth of a fool. They cannot apply properly to justify their actions. Verse 10, like an archer who wounds and at random is the one who hires a fool or any passerby. We all work for companies that hire people just the way we are hired. When you are hired, they base it on your qualifications and experience. If they did not, they hired random people without authenticating their resume, the business will come to ruin. So it is important that we test everything out before we send out a message. It's like an archer who wounds at random. It really causes issues and problems. Verse 11. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. They haven't learned their lesson. In fact, they forget what foolish things they have done and repeat it again and again. Do you see a person who is wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than them. Someone who is boastful and think they are right or wise isn't open to correction or feedback. This is very dangerous. They're self-justified and entitled. Try to see if you could use logic to talk to them. It doesn't work because they think they have the right answer and they know everything. Then we switch to verses 13 through 16, talking about a lazy person, a sluggard. A sluggard says there is a lion on the road, a fierce lion roaming the streets. As a door turns on its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard, yeah, I know, I like that verse too. As a door turns on its hinges, so the sluggard turns on his bed. A sluggard buries his hand in the dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to the mouth. A sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven people who answered discreetly. So basically, a sluggard is a lazy person. He comes up with all excuses and not to be productive. In my work, sometimes I get emails about why a person is not coming to work or a call. And jokingly, someone said to me, that person's grandma has died about 7-8 times because they don't want to come to work. So we don't verify these type of things, but we take it by word. So the imaginary lion on the streets, anything from preventing from him going to work. Lion in the streets would be a newsworthy item now. You know, they probably did not have animal control back then, but it's definitely an imaginary lion in the streets is very creative, to be honest. So anything, any reason not to come to work. In verse 14 about the door, as a door turns to its hinges, so a sluggard turns on his bed. There's a lot of motion. turning and tossing around in bed, but do not want to get out of it. A sluggard, a lazy person, has no purpose, no goal, no agenda, and no discipline. Verse 15, the sluggard buries his hand in his dish. He's too lazy to bring it back to his mouth. What a pathetic state, right? Too lazy, sluggish, no energy to even eat. Needs to be spoon-fed. And verse 16, a sluggard is wiser in his own eyes and some people who answer discreetly. In order to be lazy and avoid work, the lazy person will come out, will not give any thought to even seven wise people who unanimously give an answer to or wisdom to correct the lazy person. But the lazy person will justify his actions in order not to change his situation. Verses 17 through 19. Like one who grabs a stray dog by its ears is someone who rushes into quarrel, not their own. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbor and says, I was only kidding. Rushing into a quarrel or meddling in quarrel that is not our business is like grabbing a stray dog by its ears, sure to get bitten, voluntarily and unnecessarily asking for trouble. It is not our fight, it's not our battle. Careless with their actions and words, right? Our words and actions can and will hurt people sometimes. Saying I'm joking after damage is done is too late. We have to be very careful with what we say and what we do. We know people who says anything they want to say that comes to their mind and say, just kidding at the end of it. And after a few times, you realize that's what they really mean. They're not kidding. They really mean it. So words out of everyone's mouth, a fool's mouth, can hurt somebody deeply. Verse 20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, quarrel dies down. As charcoal to the embers and as wood to fire, so is quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost part. We have all fallen victims to gossip, right? Gossip is in this context means rumors that isn't true and damaging. One of the worst and the best inventions in the world is the telephone. And now with smartphone, messages can be relayed instantaneously through WhatsApp, social media, even a phone call. Gossip travels fast and spreads like a wildfire. So even with technology, you have to be very, very careful before you pick up the phone and say things to people that we are not aware of, which we can verify is true, which we shouldn't even talk about. People gossip because they feel superior, I am better attitude, or they themselves feel insecure and love to judge or plainly just to hurt. Without gossip, quarrel eventually dies out. Verse 23, like a quoting silver dross on earthware, our fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their heart they harbor deceit. Though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations will fill their hearts. Their malice may be concealed by deception, but their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. We may come across people who is very loving, very charming and persuasive, and on the outside seems very genuine. But what is in their heart is hatred and have evil motives. The true intentions are hidden, but God will expose them. We read in James chapter 3, let's turn to James chapter 3 real quickly. I just would like to read the first 12 verses. How many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know what we who teach will be judged more strictly? We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. When he put his bits into the mouths of a horse to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder. wherever the pilot wants it to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on the fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself sets on fire by hell. All kinds of animals and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who has been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, that should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives, or grape vine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. Chapter 4, a couple of verses 7 and 10. Submit yourself then to God. Resist the evil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Verse 10. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Tame the tongue, right? In most cases, speak only if you know, if you have to say that, speak only if what you have to say is kind, true, or necessary. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Verses 27 and 28. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. This reminds me of the story of Mordecai and Haman. And Haman, because of his pride and wanted to hurt and harm the Jews, built gallows, particularly to hang Mordecai, because he wouldn't kneel or show respect to him. It backfired, and the very same gallows he built was used to hang him. So just to summarize really quickly, is in chapter 26 talks about do not honor or trust a fool. Know when to answer a fool and when to hold our tongue. Don't be comfortable with being like a lazy person who has no desire or purpose in life. Be mindful of spiritual laziness. Our words have the power to hurt, heal, and comfort. Seek God, search his word, and pray before making decisions both great and small. James 1:5 says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, and who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. May his name be glorified.